All right, well, good morning. Good morning. So good morning again. If you're new visiting, my name is Rob. I'm pastor here, and man, there it is, the picture right there, celebrating this morning 124 years. Let's give it up for that. Man, it is a joy to be part of such a rich history and tradition. It's a joy to be celebrating together and combining both services together, both our traditional, our Wilshire Live and contemporary, and all coming together with different styles, but we worship one God. And that's the beauty of it all, that we come together, whether young, old, we all come together united by the blood of Christ. And that's what brings us together, and that's who we want to celebrate. And before 124 years, Jesus has long been acting, and this is just a blip on the radar of what God is doing and has done throughout century after century and continues and will continue to do. So we get the joy of celebrating that. So once, if during these 124 years, whether God has show of hands if God has used Wilshire in your life, and maybe just a little, whoa, come on, give me a little, there we go. Yeah, I like that. Some of you are really like, whoa, come on, that's good. God has been good to Wilshire. And thank you. I want to thank you. It's such a privilege for me to step into this point in history where I, as the new guy, I get to see and celebrate all that God has done faithfully through so many of you. So thank you for all of the work that many of you have done and continue to pour out blood, sweat, tears to see the gospel continue to go forth. So I and my family, we're thankful as a staff. We're thankful for you and thankful for all that God has done. Would you pray with me and then we'll get started in this sermon. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. What a beautiful church. Lord, the scriptures say that the church is your bride that you died for. Father, that's why we're here, because you have died for your church, you have died for us, and you've transformed our lives. Lord, may we celebrate you this morning, Father, and the rich things that you have done through Wilshire, here on this corner, in this downtown part of Fullerton. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, so get your pens out. We're going to do it today, okay? I mean, we are going for it. Get your pens, your phone, whatever you want to do. I mean, I don't know if it's the 124 years. I mean, I'm going to preach, okay? So get ready. I mean, normally I'm a three-point kind of guy. We've got 6 points this morning, all right? So come on. Here we go. We ready? 124 years. I'm excited. All right, there we go. Come on. All right, so first and foremost, I feel like God, and I hope you hear this loud and clear, I am thankful for you. This church would not be standing if it wasn't for you and some of you generations that have been here and have bled for this church. And so I just want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart. But I want to thank you for serving our wonderful God. He truly is amazing, and that's what I want to. And do you know what I love about Wilshire? Here's what I love about Wilshire. For years, it has been founded and has continued to put Jesus first. So if you're taking notes, as we look forward, I want us to think about this. As we're taking notes this morning, I want us to celebrate all that God has done. But then I want to look forward. How are we going to successfully complete another 124 years? Long after I'm gone, how will we continue to share the gospel? And it will start with investments that you and I make today. It's investments that you and I make in these next coming weeks, in these next coming months and years. How do we begin to see the gospel flourish? How do we see God's love flourish in this city? It begins now. There's an ancient saying that the journey of 1,000 steps begins with just one. One step. If we are going to continue this amazing journey, it begins with one step. And so the very first step that we are going to look at this morning is first to continue to make Jesus first. Continue to make Jesus first. Let me read this passage in Colossians 1, 16 through 18. It says this. Let me back up. It's not up on the screen. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we've got our big blues in the pews. We always like to say, so Wilshire Live, like, I know I always say that. And now you can actually grab one of those big blues. They're right here, okay? So grab one. And if you don't have one, that's our gift to you. So please take that home. But let me read this. Let me back up one verse. So we're in Colossians 1, 15. And then you'll see 16 on the screen. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is the head of this church. As lead pastor, I am not the head. Jesus is the head of this church. He has been and will continue to be. And so as a community, we have to continue to put Jesus first. I might be up here on the stage preaching, but it's Jesus is the one. I mean, look at it. We've got our cross right there in center. He is the one that is first in our community. He is the one, the supremacy of all things. Acts 4:12 says that we can find salvation in no other name except in Jesus. There is nowhere else that we can be rescued, and it's in Jesus. And so we have to continue to put him first. So in our own life, in this church, in our own lives, if we are going to be a body that's coming together and we're strengthened together, we have to continue to put Jesus first in our lives and at the church. So that means putting our needs, our personal needs aside, and focusing on the kingdom and focusing on what God wants. So I want to ask you to think about this week. How can I continue to put Jesus first in my own life? If I'm going to be a part of seeing him move powerfully at the church, first and foremost, I need to understand his love for me and understand how he's first in my life. Because here's where I want us to focus on is God, as we're going to talk about today, maybe just a subtitle for today is, it's all about the numbers. You can maybe put that at the top. It's all about the numbers. And I'll explain. Some of you are like, what? Because churches, sometimes we're afraid of numbers. But it's all about the numbers. Let me explain. In Luke 15, and you hear me talk about this often because I feel like it's at the heart of Jesus' story. Jesus tells, he's hanging out with a group of tax collectors and sinners. He's hanging out with people that he shouldn't be. The religious people criticize him and say, why are you hanging out with this group? And he responds with three stories. But one of these stories, he begins and he says, imagine a shepherd and he's got 100 sheep and he's with them. He's with the 99 and one of them goes astray. Will he not leave the 99 and go after the one? How does he know that the one is gone? He counted, right? He knows because he knows his sheep by name and he knows that there's 100 of them. Just the other day, I was helping out. I shouldn't confess this, but I am. I was helping out and our kids play and I was back out there and I'm just riling up the kids and we were short a person, so I'm playing dodgeball with them and doing stuff. And then all of a sudden I realize, I kind of walk into this and one kid's asking to go to the bathroom. We're like, okay, just one. I got to keep track. And then I realize, oh, I don't know the count of them. What, these are
people's kids.
If I lose one, I'm in deep trouble. See you, pastor. Boom, you know. So I quickly, everyone, come here. And they run in, and I'm like, okay, let's play, you know. And so I'm like, they had no idea what I was doing. But I wanted to count each single one because every single life matters. Every life matters. And so we have a God that counts, and he knows there was 100, but one has gone astray, and the good shepherd goes and leaves the 99 and finds that one. Because why? If you're taking notes, I want us to think about last week, we talked about there's a love like no other, God's love like no other, and that should cause us to love like no other. There is a love like no other that we celebrate here, and that should cause us to love like no other. And what that causes, what that should begins kind of a vision for our community, what that looks like is how we first love each other and how we are willing to sacrifice love. Because imagine sometimes with the 99, and this happens as a pastor and going out into the community, sometimes we have to be okay with leaving the 99. There's sacrifices that we have to make in leaving the 99 and going to the one. The shepherd takes a risk by going to the one. Now, first, what does that mean when we first love each other? When we remember God's love, when we've been loved like no other, we can then show love like no other. Because when we remember how God went after us, we all have been like that one sheep that's gone astray, that God will continue to go after us. He has continued to go after us when we go astray. So then we remember how we too are to love others. So first that starts within our own community. That means showing love to others even when we disagree. Showing love to others even when we have just a different viewpoints, whether that's politically, socially, and just theology. So one of my favorite quotes that when I first started, like I was presented with this idea of coming to Wilshire, and I'm just checking the church out, and I found this quote on the website, and I knew it, there was something deep just kind of resonated in my soul, because I feel like it's at the heart of the gospel. And it's a quote of Augustine. He says this. He says, "In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity." Or here we say in all things, love, because we don't use the word charity as much. But this quote is attributed to St. Augustine. We don't know exactly if it was from him, but that's who many attribute it, this quote to. But let me explain that quote. In the essentials, unity. In the essentials, where we will continue to be unified, is what are we calling the essentials? Jesus. Jesus is deity. Who Jesus is, that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just some man, but he's 100% man and 100% God. And so talking about the Trinity, that we worship one God, three persons, one God. And so where we will continue to fight, and that we will always land on that in the essentials, unity. That was salvation by grace alone. You cannot be saved any other way. You cannot earn your way to heaven. But God, who came and rescued us, he is the one. It's by his grace and by his love. So in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. There will be things that we disagree with. I so appreciate, many of you know Dale Salico, just a wise scholar and pastor in our midst, and who has studied greatly in so many areas. Just having a conversation with him the other day, and we were just out to lunch, and he asked me, "Well, what's your position on the beginning of the earth and beginning of creation?" He says, and so we're dialoguing, but just his approach and his tone, realizing that different Christians have different beliefs within this system. So let me clarify. in the essentials, we have unity. If somebody comes in and says, well, was Jesus really God? He was a great teacher. We're not going to let that fly. Okay? And I forget about my choir back here. I got to give you guys some love. I got one little chuckle and I'm like, hey, whoa. All right. So last week I forgot about Wilshire Live. So I'm learning, y'all. So in those things, we're going to fight for. In the non-essentials, we are going to understand that there's different viewpoints within the body. And so we can, now this doesn't mean that you just give up what your convictions are. This means you continue to study and study with vigor and study, pursue academic excellence. But we can show liberty and we can show love to others who disagree. So if you're coming in and you're not really sure, I mean, you picked an interesting day to make this your first day, but we're glad you're here. And my hope is that as we kind of have family talk this morning, that we want to open these doors, that all are welcome into the family. And if you're new and visiting, we're just glad that you're here checking things out. But we want this to be a place that continues to show love and kindness, whoever comes in here, and even with different viewpoints and different ways that we can love them and show them. Because in all things, we want to show love. We want to show love to those who disagree with us politically, socially, and even just different viewpoints on the Bible. There are things, yes, we will fight for, but there are things we have to realize that certain Christians can all be Christian. So a good question to ask yourself, if you're finding yourself in a disagreement with another Christian, is this a matter of salvation? Is this a matter of this person, if they don't believe this, they will not go to heaven. They will not be with God. Is it that important? Because sometimes we get so bogged into something that can be so important and we end up hurting each other. And that's sometimes walking through doors, if you're not a Christian, you've walked through doors and you're like, yeah, Christians are always arguing with each other. May Wilshire be a place where we show each other love and say, you know what? Okay, I might disagree with you, but I love you. It's not the tone. Have you noticed this in parenting? Man, my oldest one, she's just kind of from the beginning, she's strong-willed. She got it from her dad. Let's be honest, okay? And so, you know, from a young age, I've always just been reading articles. How do I, like, handle this child and this and that? And there was this one great article in saying, you know what? It's not so much about how the child, everyone expects that a child's going to throw a tantrum. What people are really watching, how does the adult handle it? Right? If my child throws a tantrum in the store, and all of a sudden I'm like, you know, and I'm just like freaking out, throwing an adult tantrum, how could you throw that tantrum, you know, and screaming at her, they're going to be like, dude, chill out. How I handle it is far more important. And so conflicts will always happen. But will we put the heart first? Will we value the importance of one single person and how much they matter to God? And when we see each other the way God sees each other, it doesn't matter in certain areas we disagree. We can't help but love each other. We can't help but show kindness to each other because we know how much God loves that individual and how much we've been loved by God. And so that's what we want to celebrate. Yes, we can have some differences. But first and foremost, love. Love will continue to win. Jesus, we will be known in this community by the way we love each other. And that love will flow out and flow out to others. Third point here. We're going to jump to Mark 10, 45. Some of you are like, third point, man, wrap it up. I told you, I'm going to preach today. We're going. So Jesus says this. And this is so interesting in the context. I'm going to read this verse. Let me read this verse and I'll explain the context. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. This next point that we're going to make is this: serve even when it hurts. Serve even when it hurts. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for ransom of many. This, in the context of this passage, the disciples were arguing. Here you have it right here. James and John requested, they wanted to be first in the kingdom. They wanted to sit at Jesus' right hand. They wanted to be kind of the top-notch guys. And the disciples all start arguing. There's jockeying of position. And Jesus says, no, you have it wrong. If any of you want to serve, any of you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to serve. And if you, so he says this, he says, man did not come to be served, but to serve. So if you want to be great, you have to serve. Jesus' mission, he came to serve. That was one of his foremost missions. So let me ask you this question this morning. Is one of your missions to serve? And maybe this might be new for you. Has God put it on your heart to serve? And if not, may you not hear condemnation and, oh man, but may this be a new beginning. May this be a new step for you. Am I willing to serve? Jesus came to serve, and his goal was to give his life away for the ransom of many. That's why Jesus came. Now, here's two problems that I think often happen with serving. We fail to serve for two different reasons. That first one is, I think we often feel we're underqualified. We feel like, well, no, I don't preach the gospel the way anybody up on the stage does. I don't know that much Bible, or I don't feel like I could be this type of person. Let me say this. God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. God has been in the business of doing that. Jesus was born in a manger. Here you have his disciples, who all of these disciples weren't good enough to be on the religious A-teams. They weren't able to be Pharisees or religious leaders. They didn't know the Bible well enough. They didn't make it. They didn't make the cut. And yet Jesus uses them for this small group that goes on to impact the whole world and have Christianity spread this day and what it is today, all through a few ordinary men. God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. So do not say to yourself, well, I can serve, I can help others reach, I can help others hear about the gospel when maybe I get this talent or when I get smarter. I want you to remove that in your, maybe even in your own walk with God. What are you failing to accomplish because you're saying, I don't have this ability? God can do extraordinary things with ordinary people. Whatever ordinary gifts you have, God can use it. Why? Because he is the one that gets the credit when that happens. When you try to build up all the accolades and build up your resume and see, look how great I am, who gets the credit? You do. Ultimately not, because God created you and put you in those positions and gave you all those things anyway, but it's an attempt, it's a power struggle. And that can be a dangerous thing. So serve even when it hurts. When you feel underqualified, serve. Here's the other one, overqualified. Well, I don't do that. Do you know my job? Do you know how many people I manage? Do you know my bankroll, my pay, the people I take care of? I don't do that. That's in all of us, right? Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the world that stooped down and he cleaned his disciples' feet. Feet that would walk on a journey, feet that were filthy and nasty. Jesus took the lowest position. Jesus, the Savior of the world, died on the cross so that we too can live. Jesus did not, no position was off the table. Do you know, interestingly, Mother Teresa, when she had a lot of her orphanages and hospitals and she would set up, when people would come in, famous doctors, everybody would apply, top doctors in the world would apply to be at these orphanages and these hospitals. And do you know what she had some of these top doctors do for the very first year? Top surgeons, top everyone, clean toilets. Clean toilets, because she understood you have to serve to be great. If we are going to accomplish great things, you have to be willing to serve. And Jesus modeled that. Jesus showed that. So if we are going to continue to advance, here's my ask as a pastor. I and as a staff, we need you. We need you. I can't do this thing alone. We can't do this thing alone. As a church, if we are going to see God's love shine in the city, I need you. I need you asking the question, how can I serve? How can I use the gifts that God has given me? What passion has God put on my heart to continue to see others? And we talk about it in our staff meetings all the time. There's different ways that we can use, and we'll discuss this more in an upcoming sermon series. How do I use my gifts for the kingdom? Gifts are used in different ways. I often use the analogy because it's so different than my position, but Brandon Steele, our graphics designer here, he does a lot of our media, and he creates bulletins, and he's working on our website and different things, and he uses media to show and to communicate God's love. He creates flyers in our last sermon series, A New You, that some of us have maybe been here because of those flyers. What gifts has God given you to serve? They're not all preaching. They're not all, they can be in different things. It can be just simply out front and telling somebody, just smiling and letting them know God loves them. It's maybe ushering them in a parking spot because they're frantic and we have no idea the things that people go through in the morning. I mean, maybe they were just like this close to beating their kids, right? And they're just like, oh, I'm sick of this and I can't find a parking spot. But there's somebody that says, there's a parking spot right here. Oh, you know, and you're just, thank you. Thank you. And so do you have I think all of us have the ability to do this, right? Come on, right there, right there. There's a spot. No position is too great, but every position is great. Every position has greatness in it. Because the sermon, where does the sermon begin? Not right here. The sermon begins in the parking lot. When people step onto our campus, they know that God loves them. That's what we want to continue to communicate from top to bottom, left to right, every step they take on this campus, would they know God's love for them? And it doesn't happen with just a few select few. It happens as a team. And so really that I'm hoping, let me jump down to number 5 and we'll get to 4, that we don't do it alone, that we fight to be together. That we truly are better together. And this is in scriptures. It says this in Hebrews 10, 24. So, preaching, you wanna come down? Come on. You're up. All right, verse 23. I don't think we have on the screen, but let me set the stage with this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. And I'm going to come back to that in just one moment. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We need you. We need each other. We need you here. We need you to encourage each other. Because here's the thing, it can't all just happen from the stage. yes, the gospel goes out, and it's amazing how God's word goes out and does things that I don't even intend to say. And sometimes people will come up to me afterwards, and man, God was just putting it on my heart. And I was like, I said that? And yeah, but some God speaks through his word, and he changes people's hearts. Here's the thing, though. There's only one of me. There's only one of each one of our staff afterwards. How do we show God's love is afterwards continuing to encourage each other, hearing how people are doing, checking in with them. Hey, I haven't seen you at church for a while. You're missed. You're loved. Not shame and guilt, like, why haven't you been here? But you're loved. You're missed. How do we encourage each other? Because 6 days can be very discouraging, and that you would come here on a Sunday morning and being encouraged. Sometimes it's just simply shouting an amen or laughing at a lame joke, right? Thanks. But that's how we encourage each other. Maybe it's just you don't know how to sing, but simply just, man, I've had a terrible week and I'm doing this. And maybe some people in your life group know, man, you've just had a miserable week, but then they see you on Sunday morning and that person's just praising God. That's a testimony right there. We need to encourage each other. We need that here. And whether it's arms up, down, it doesn't matter, but that we would come and speak life into each other. So if you're thinking just a Sunday morning, well, I'm sick or this or that, I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. Not because of me or because anyone, but there are other people that need your love in this community. You are missed when you are not here. You are loved, and in many ways, we need to get recharged. We need to encourage each other, what? As the day is approaching. These are urgent matters, so urgent that the good shepherd would leave the 99 and come back for the one. It is that important. Numbers matter. Each seat matters. And so God wants us to do it together. We are better together. We are stronger together. That is how we will continue to be. And so I hope that we would continue to preach that. Let me read that verse I said I would come back to. Verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who has promised is faithful. God continues to be faithful. I want us to point number four, to risk failure. Risk failure. That we would continue to not be afraid to fail. That we would, and maybe even the word failure, we would remove from our vocabulary here. That we would just, every opportunity would just be, if we fail, then we would just learn from it. And then it would be educational. Some of us are highly educated. Let it sink in for that. We fail a lot, right? Okay, wah, wah, wah. But we continue, we want to continue to fail and fail and fail, but learn from it. We want to take bold risks. Why? Because Jesus, God, is in control. Right there, verse 23. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God will continue to be faithful no matter what. I love the saying, like, live like there's no tomorrow. And just live like this is your last day. But it made me also think a spin on that is live like there will always be a tomorrow. Spend your money like there will always be a tomorrow. The tomorrow, there might not be a tomorrow on this earth, but there will be a tomorrow in heaven. So you can spend your money and not be worried about, oh, am I going to have enough? Is this the right thing? No, God is faithful. God is in control. I can live generously. I can take bold risks because I know God is in control. And maybe it's just simply learning from it. Okay, God didn't want to use me in this situation, so it's educational, it's shift. That venture didn't work out, but I need to continue to serve, to continue to press on, and continue to move forward. Because why? God has my life in control. the little children's song. He's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus has the whole world in his hands. Do you trust that your life is in his hands and that no matter how you live, there will always be a tomorrow? It might not be on this earth, so you can trust, though, that he has everything in control and there will always be another day in his courts. And so we could just live freely and we're not so worried about a lot of our mistakes. Pastor Evan and I were talking this week that one of the most pristine grounds in different places just in the world today are graveyards. They're highly maintained. They're beautifully well kept. But the reality is, it's death, right? You have something that's so beautiful up above, but dead down below. You can look pretty. You can try and make something look pretty as possible, but there's still death there. My goal would be that we wouldn't be so worried about everything being perfect. And maybe this is true in your life. Maybe you need to let go of a little perfection, and maybe you're so worried about how others view you, and maybe it's through social media in different ways. How about you just live? How about we live together and we're not afraid of the mistakes, and we're not afraid of criticism, because criticism will come. But Winston Churchill says, I'm butchering the quote a little bit, but he says, if you get critics, good, that means you stood for something. There will be times that we will fail. But as we continue to encourage each other and remember, you know what? There's a tomorrow. We're gonna be okay. Because God, even the 124 years ago, God was working even before that. Do you know, bold people took risks to see this church established. That church you see right there, and it was 1892 leading up to 1893, they bought this land and built that original church for $1,000. $1,000. Back then, that was a big amount. But it was a risk that paid off. It was a risk. Well, and at the beginning years, several pastors kind of came and went because the church wasn't able to sustain them or their families. But God kept going in, and there was risk, and it was kind of teetering at the beginning. Would this thing really take off? We made an investment. I mean, look at that. You just see fields around there. If we could, do we have some of the other pictures in there? So then the next site goes up. And this is 1912, is that correct? Was this site? Somebody? Nobody? I believe it was around 1912. I'm just throwing that in there. I'm making stuff up. I'm just kidding. But then our next picture, if we could. And here this was. Who knows when this was built? 61. I think that's right. I'm going with you. Alan's got it. So here it was, just at the very beginning, $1,000 investment was made. $1,000 that grew, and at the centennial mark, they were thinking the land was worth over $2.5 million, and it just continues to grow. How just a single faithful steps, being obedient to what God is doing, taking risks, not being afraid to fail, and seeing the fruit that comes from it. I feel like God has that word for us as a church and maybe in your life as well. But what are you afraid? Maybe there's some risk that you're avoiding taking in your life. That you're worried about failure. But God this whole time is in your ear and saying, I'm there with you. If you fall, I'm gonna pick you back up. I'm there. And it's where are we not trusting God? The last one is this, to pray big prayers. To pray big prayers. Here's one. Before I just left out my notes, I got to get to this quote. Can we pull up the quote by Kevin Durant? I mean, my Warriors, right? Kevin Durant, they had a good game last night. But I feel like this is a great quote. We just can't miss this. He says, and this might even be credited to his coach, Tim, I think Note is his last name. But it says, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. Hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. We can take risk. We can be bold. Sometimes we're worried back to the second point or third point that, well, I'm not qualified enough. I don't have the right gifts. But that when we fail, when talent fails, when we don't have the right gifts, that we would just work hard, that we would pursue God and work with excellence. I love that quote. Take that home, tweet it, do whatever you want with it. But let that sink in. Last point, pray big prayers. That we would pray big prayers. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. And he fought for that. So much so that he turned over tables. He pulled out all the money exchangers and the temple courts. Because why? They had destroyed the house of prayer. Jesus fought for his house to be a house of prayer. And what I want to encourage us as a community to pray big prayers. And when you begin to put numbers, it's about numbers. I feel like it's no coincidence that at the very beginning, 124 years ago, when this church was built, and they took risks, right? There were sanctuaries that went up, and then another one. They were built down, destroyed. They weren't attached to the buildings because sanctuaries went up and they went down. The buildings themselves, they weren't attached to, but it was Jesus they were attached to. And God has continued to be faithful so we can continue to cry out to him and pray big prayers. Why big prayers? Because big prayers get us away from methods. Methods can always, well, the church, we have always done it this way. And so when we do things this way, that should produce X results. God wants to remove us from that because if we can just simply plug and play, why do we even need Jesus? Well, we've done this model, we will continue to do this model, so just enter in. If we all follow these steps, then voila. God worked that way one way. I mean, we see it. Why does Jesus do so many different miracles? Why is it sometimes spitting in mud and rubbing it? Why is it, sometimes does he speak and they stand up? Why is it sometimes grabbing a hand? Why does Jesus use all of these different methods? So you can't mimic it and simply just say, well, when I do this little magic trick, then there's healing. Jesus shows that it's by his power and by his strength. So we as a community have to pray big. Because why? When we pray big, God shows up. It's not about our prayers, but it's about the one we are praying to. So would you pray big with us? I feel like it's no coincidence as you look around that God ended up having this church in the heart of downtown. And as we look at it and dream looking forward, the God that leaves 99 and goes after the one, I believe God will continue to grow Wilshire. Yes, there might be some growing pains and there might be some things that we need to fix and continue to move forward, but I believe that God has us here for a reason. Do you know, in the Wilshire structure over here, the parking, I think, to be in a downtown area, and what's always limited in downtown areas? Parking. Parking. And to find space. Less than a block from here, we have 323 spots in the Wilshire spot. And then right over here, in the Plumber spot, we have 423 spots. 744 parking spaces. I'm praying someday that would be filled and continue to fill up these rooms. 744 spots. Would you begin praying that in your prayers? There are 744 spots that we want to fill up so people can come through these doors and hear about God's love. Praying big relies on God's power. Because when you think about it, Some of us might be like 744, but think about how many are in our city, how many need to hear about God's love. The numbers matter because each individual life matters. Some celebrations as we kind of bring it to a close, we got to see in our children's ministry, 7 as they went away to camp with the 5th and 6th graders last time, and they're just coming back from camp now, 7 came to know Jesus for the very first time. 4 of them, come on. Four of them rededicated their lives. Do you know, we have just over, we had in our kids play out here in our sports programs, we had 250 student or kids in the sports program. 34 of those went to Wilshire. The rest are from the community. Some of these families get to experience just the fun and joy of sports and get to experience it with others that love God and say, hey, we're opening up our gym, we're making sacrifices all so you could have fun and come to know about God's love. It's not a trick, but to say, hey, we care about you. And this is something we enjoy doing, and we our biggest thing that we want people to know about is God's love. I mean, think about that question. I know I'm preaching. Right? Hang with me. I'm bringing it close. But man, I'm just like, I've been praying all week and thinking about this, man, 124 years, and we look forward. My hope is that you take some of these notes home, and yeah, I might be throwing up all over you this morning and just writing down notes, but my hope is as we would go together that these numbers would impact us, that we would dream about them, that we would pray about them. We saw in our youth 25 students go to the Dream Center to serve and to sacrifice and serve homeless communities out of their own time, out of their own vacation, and to give that up. Recently, we just had 85 students here in our all-night rager, and over half of them aren't in the church community. And so we're welcoming people in and letting them know that they're loved. Why numbers? Because each individual has a story. Each number has a face. Each individual has a soul. And God is crazy about them. God is crazy about you. He's crazy about his bride, the church. And he's crazy about letting others know about his love. Would you join us as we continue to worship him and to love others and let that love be known to the city? Would you pray big? Would you serve faithfully? Would you continue to know his deep love for you? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God of numbers. Lord, you notice when one leaves the 99. Lord, not only are you a God of numbers, you are a God of love. The Bible, that's how your word defines you, that you are love. And that you love so much that you sent your only son, that whoever believes in him, though we will die, we will not perish. Lord, you sent your son into the world. And Lord, I'm reminded of your word, saying that Jesus, you left heaven, that you came down to serve. Father, it's not about you. You realize it is about you. But Lord, may it, in our lives, may we realize it's not about us, but it's about you. May we serve and just trust that you will continue to be faithful. God, you always have been in our lives. We are here for no mistake. Lord, it is by no mistake that we are here. May we continue to serve you, and may we continue to know that we are loved, loved, loved by you. God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for your word. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.